Sometimes it seems forever since I've been here. It will next time. But it's great to just hear what God's doing in different people's lives, different people from around our country, around the nations of the world. And it's really good, and I'm kind of encouraged of this last weekend. And I just want to try and just bring some of that's been laid on my heart that hopefully will encourage you and strengthen you, and maybe just help you through some things. If you, a verse that was read out to us this morning in Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says this: "But praise the Lord, praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." The Word of God tells us that God's done everything for us. Yeah, and we know that's what the Bible says. We know we are blessed beyond our wildest dreams. In fact, later on in Ephesians, it's talking about God, and if I can quickly find it, "Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." These are great verses, and much more the New King James Version of that's a lot better than NIV. But we know that the Bible says so much about what God's done for us. He did everything on the cross. You know, when Jesus died and he said it is finished, he meant it's finished. It wasn't just like they said this morning. It wasn't just that he took our sins and paid for that. He not just paid for our sins, he paid that we could have a relationship with God. He paid that we could be healed. He paid that we could be redeemed. We could be sanctified. We could be set free. We could be whatever we need to be in Christ. He did it all for us. But the question is, or the question I want to ask is, knowing all that, have you ever had a complaint to God? Have you ever complained to him? Have you ever questioned? Have you ever asked the why question? Well, if you're not saying yes, you've either not been saved that long, or you need to be up here. You know what I mean? Let me touch you. You are so holy. But we've all been there at some point, knowing that God's done everything for us, knowing that Jesus paid the price for everything, that we've got direct access right into the throne room of God. And yet there's times in our life where we raise our hand and complain. And it's kind of like, why? Not why God, but why do we complain? Because sometimes we don't understand what's going on. Sometimes we don't see the big picture. Sometimes we're kind of not aware of things. But and it also, sometimes when you're in a moment, it's like when someone's got toothache, there's no point trying to reason with them over something, because the toothache is consuming everything. Even though they might be smiling, they've still got toothache. Sometimes we complain to God about things because we don't understand what's going on. Sometimes because we don't like what's going on. Sometimes because life has just got to us and we need to vent. We need to let it out. Now, some people bottle things up, and I don't know if you're a bottler or if you're a venter. I am told that you shouldn't bottle things up because eventually it breaks anyway and pops open. But the question I also want to ask is it right to raise a complaint to God? Is it right to raise our little fists at God? Now, in some households growing up, you couldn't question your parents. There's households these days where they question everything about parents. So I don't know which is the right and wrong. There's extremes in both ways. I once had a major discussion with my mum at the age of 15. I was 15. She obviously was older than me. And I was having a discussion with her. But in reality, I was arguing with her. I was 15. I was bigger than her because she's only short. She's a redhead. That's a clue. What's coming. And I turned around and says to her, "You don't want to discuss this like an adult, being not, you know." And she says, "Would you like to discuss this like an adult?" I said, "Yeah." So she smacked me in the face. She says, "That's how I would treat somebody who was an adult or spoke to me like that." So sometimes, you know, in our upbringing, we could question certain stuff. Some things we can't. Sometimes we question things too much. But is it right to question God? Well, David in the Bible actually questioned, complained, whatever you want to put, on a number of occasions. At least if you read Psalm 3, Psalm 69, Psalm 77, and there are other psalms where David cries out to God, complaining. He asks a question, God, why do the evil people seem to prosper and live forever? Good question. Why is it, God, that I'm serving you and people are ridiculing me? He asked that question. We could even ask that. We could ask those questions today. You know, he asked, why is it that I spend all my energy trying to serve you, Lord, and yet everybody else seems to get on in life? He asked those questions. And yet he knew God had worked through his life on a number of occasions, especially with Goliath, with other people. And yet David rose his hand to God and asked why. In fact, David asked God once if he would break his enemy's teeth. And you've got to find that one in the Bible. God, just break their teeth. You can use that as a scripture. God, break their teeth. It's there. You know what I mean? Old covenant, but... But there's an interesting part in Isaiah. And Isaiah 40 and verse 27. And God is asking, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my ways are hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Have you ever felt that God has set you on a journey, and as you're on that journey, you wonder if God's still with you on the journey? You wonder where he is. Sometimes you think, what's going on, God? Why? You know, when I'm always cautious when people give me words about what's coming up. I like it in one sense, but I'm cautious because often I'm not sure if the devil hears the word and then attacks, or God's give me the word because he knows the devil's going to attack. I don't know which way that goes, but what I often know is that when I've had a word from God from somebody, or I know God's speaking to me, I'm ready because I know something's coming up and I need to hold on to that. But God asks a question of Israel, why are you complaining and saying, my ways are hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by God? It's not meaning in a negative sense where I'm hidden from God, I can do whatever I want. They were asking, God, don't you see what's happening to us? Don't you understand what's going on here? Don't you see the turmoil and the disgrace and the trouble that's upon us? God, don't you see? And we're complaining to God. But there's a difference between complaining to God and asking the why question. When David complained, he always started off with his complaint, but then went into praise. He said, God, my enemies are coming. Don't you see my enemies are coming? Then he went on to say, God, I know that you will raise me up beyond my enemies. When he said, God, don't you see that people have deserted me? Then he went on to say, Lord, I know that you will not desert me. He took the complaint and put it into praise, and then he started praising God. I like what the guy said this morning. You know, instead of telling God about the problem, we need to tell the problem about the God we serve. That the God we serve is bigger and mightier than the problem there. But often we tell God about the problem and God's going, don't tell me about the problem, you tell the problem about me and then I'll sort it out for you. You don't look too excited. You might not need any mountains removing yet. In nine verses that I wrote, verse 27, you back up to verse 25, so we're still in Isaiah 40, verse 25. God says this, when we think about complaining, when we think about raising our little hand to God, asking the why, this is what he said, to whom will you compare me? Or who is equal to me, says the Most Holy One. That kind of puts it all in a bracket straight away, doesn't it? When you want to raise a complaint, you've got to ask, God's saying, who's equal to me? I've learned this over years and I've observed this, seen it, and looked at people. Why is it some people have a right go at the parents, or a right go at the siblings, or a right go at a good friend? But they would never say that to a stranger, because probably the stranger would knock their head off. But they know they can vent to a loved one, because the loved one's not likely to knock their heads off. I can't spiritualize that, so that's just what it is. That's just the way it goes. But God says, you know, who can you compare me to? Who is equal to me? And he continues, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? When we've got our, when we're feeling in a dark place, when we're ready to complain, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with raising a complaint to God, but if you leave the complaint there and stop, then it could become a problem. You need to take it on. So God says, look to the heavens, who created all them? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one? Who calls them each by name? I mean, on a night, if you can't sleep, look up. Look at the stars. Look at the stars out there. I remember two guys, I heard a story of two guys who weren't camping, and in the middle of the night, he was startled, and his mate nudged him, and he says, look up, what can you see? He looks up, he says, I can see the stars. He goes, yeah, but what can you see? He says, well, I can see Orion, and I can see the planet. He goes, no, but what can you see? He says, the stars, again. He says, no, somebody's nicked his tent. Oh, I've got to get a few before we go away, sorry. But look up, look at the stars. Because if you think, God put them all there. All those stars, those galaxies, those floating around there. It's amazing. When you really get into stargazing, it's unbelievable. Not only does it make us feel so small, I've seen Saturn through a telescope. It were amazing. It was fuzzy. It looked like it's big. But it were amazing. But it made me feel so small on this small little planet, in this small country, and me. But it also made me think how big God is. He said he holds the universe in his hand, and yet he lives in me and in you. I think that's amazing. The one who put the stars out there is the same one that came to Earth 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for you and me. And he says, lift your eyes up. He calls the stars out one by one. Because of his great power and mighty and strength, not one of them is missed. Scientists tell us that stars have been born and stars die. But it's all about what God is doing and not one of them missed. And many ask the question, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? Why have you hidden, my ways are hidden from the Lord, and my cause has been disregarded from God? I need to remind you, God sees everything. Your ways are not hidden from God. I mean, negative and positively. You know, some people can get scared thinking that God's watching us all the time in a negative sense, but I say it's a positive. If he's watching us all the time, he sees what's going on. And like any father, any good father, would not let trouble come on their kids too much so they can't handle it. Sometimes you need to let them handle a few things, but on the other side of it, you need to be there ready. And then he says this, do you not know? So I've asked the question, is it right to complain? Well, sometimes it's okay to complain as long as you take it into praise. I asked the question, do you complain? And I think we all would say at some point we've complained to God. I won't say to our spouses, but we've complained to God. But he says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God is not a God who's tired. We remember in the Old Testament where Elijah taunted the Baal prophets, saying maybe our God's gone to sleep. Maybe he's not relieving himself. Maybe he's busy. Our God's not like that. He's not tired. He's not weary. Do you know, like I said this morning, prayer does not change God, but prayer changes us because we can't wear God down. It's not like a five-year-old on the side of a pool going, Dad, 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 till Dad looks at me, jump in. Then get back out and get to the side of the pool going, Dad, 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 and then jump in. Yes, we've been there. And it annoys everybody else. But God is not a God that grows weary. And then it continues. He gives strength to the weary. So when you want to raise your complaint to him, sometimes you need to understand that maybe God's strengthening you. I know Carol's feeling a bit stiff. She's a bit stiff because she's not been canoeing for a while, have you? She's been first time for a while. So you do something and you're stiff. She was seeing Joe over the week when she came back from what she thought was circuits, and it wasn't circuits. It was something a lot more hard of a mouth. She was stiff the next day. Sometimes things happen in our life and we wonder what's going on, and God's going, it's strengthening you. It's toughening you up. It's using those muscles that's inside you. And he says, he gives us strength to the weary and increases the power to the weak. So when you are weak, you go to God and God gives you more strength. More. He helps you to continue, gives you more power. And this is what makes me smile. It never made me smile when I was younger. But now, I'm not as young as I once was. It makes me smile because it says this, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. I remember going to my dad's recently, and he's had this gate outside his house for years. And when I was younger, I used to trot up the path, boom, jump the gate. And for some crazy moment, that little thought came into my mind. So I started to run up to the gate. And as I approach the gate, it's only there. As I approach the gate, and I went, oh, forget that. Because something inside me just kicked in and went, are you an idiot? No, I'm not sure if I could have done or not. I'd like to think that maybe I could have. I might have injured myself, though. But when I was younger, I could do it all the time. But everybody grows tired at some point. Everybody grows weary. And do you know, guys, sometimes life just tires you down. It makes you weary. Sometimes it doesn't have to be a full-on attack. Life can sometimes just tire you down. It says even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That's young and old. Those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who anticipate God's move will renew their strength. And I like this. It says they will soar on wings like the eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Guys, if you're going to do Three Peaks this year, you need that verse. You know what I mean? If anyone's going to do any hiking, you need that verse. But in reality, God wants us to soar. But on the outside, time ticks on. And we might not be fit enough to jump the gates and run the marathons, but on the inside, there can be a strength on the inside that keeps us going, a strength that keeps us going through everything. Because it's not about he who can run a marathon, even though if you can, good for you. But it's he who can sustain something on the inside to keep him going. When everybody else is having to go, when David rose a complaint up to God in the different Psalms, he had a strength on the inside. He had something on the inside that kept him going. Now, back to the verse I mentioned right at the beginning. Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. He also said that we are seated in heavenly places. It says that, you know, God's done everything for us. And if that is true, and yet sometimes life just knocks us around, we can get to the source, which is Jesus. And we can go before him, and we can wait with him, and we can ponder and think things through and put our hope in him, and he will renew our strength. Guys, I need to say something, that every problem, trial, tribulation that you've ever suffered in your life, you've overcome up to press. You survived it so far. You're doing well. And if you're over 20, you've had 20 years of surviving. 30 years, 40 years, however it is. You've done really well up to press. You survived. You might have scars on the inside. You might have scars on the outside. But at least you're still alive. At least you can raise something up to God. And you can ask him, God, you've not forgotten about me, have you? And God, how could I? I mean, they said this morning, God doesn't have favourites. And you know what's coming, don't you? But I think he does. And you're all his favourites. So when you ask God, have you forgot about me? God's going to go, how can I forget about you? Like having a, you know, your favourite grandchild. No, I ain't got any grandkids. Woohoo, good. You know, but it's like having a favourite kid or favourite grandchild. You don't forget about them. I know some people might forget it's Lois's birthday on Wednesday. And if you've not bought her a card, just, you know, you need to buy her a card so she knows you've not forgot about her. Chocolates, and she don't like flowers, I know that, but she just likes chocolates. Isn't that right? Oh, she wants the flowers, yeah. She'll have the flowers. So just in case you forgot, I've reminded you. Because when you give them to Lois, she'll feel so special. She'll feel you love her to bits. And it won't put the pressure on Mary to buy all the flowers for them all. But it makes us feel special. God wants you to feel special. Because even though you might get tired and weary, you might feel so weak, God says, just hope in me. Hope in me, and I will give you the strength. But not strength on the outside that comes with exercise, but it'll give you a strength on the inside that keeps you going. One of the hardest things to ever learn is knowing when to keep his mouth shut. It's not always about when to open our mouths. Opening our mouths often gets us into trouble. But having the strength just to keep his mouth shut sometimes, it's a great strength. And you don't get the consequences often opening your mouth. It took me a long time to learn that one. I once had a black eye for opening my mouth from a girl who was about 4 years older than me. I did, to my credit, I did have 2 ice creams in my hand, and I walked around the corner, and she said, "You said this to me," and I couldn't deny it because I had done, so she smacked me in the eye, but I didn't drop the ice creams. I kept a black eye. My mum went after, and you know, that's another story. I said my mum was short, but she had red hair. She's a great woman. But God wants us all to have a strength on the inside, a tenacity, something that gets us up in the morning, keeps us going, and we can run the, like Paul says, I have run the race. I've got to the end. Now, for some of you guys, you've got, you know, maybe 80 years of the race unless Jesus returns. Some may not have as long. But we've all got our race, and God doesn't want us to be fading out. He wants us to be renewed, strengthened, and to move forward. And God's not forgot about any of you. God never forgets about us. And sometimes you look back and you can see that you went through those situations that have strengthened you, that have encouraged you, and have built you up so you are the person that God can use. And I'll say this in all honesty, that some of you have got scars, and I think God wants to use those scars for his glory. We don't see them, but on the inside, but on our hearts. And God wants to use those scars for his glory. And there's times when he can reveal them to people and say, I've been there, look at my scars. And I got through, and God carried me on, and I'm still alive. I love that story from that Russian lady. She had to choose Jesus, even though her husband, it caused her to get divorced. But then God sorted it all out. I wonder how many of us would have a conversation with somebody nobody else can see. We are wondering if we're crazy, like the lady who told us about having a meal in McDonald's with an angel. Powerful. I've never seen an angel, but I know a few people that have. God wants us to be reminded that he hasn't left us, he's always with us. And if we allow him to strengthen us, it keeps us going. But to be strengthened, you can't get strengthened by being laid in bed naturally. You only get strengthened by stretching out and doing exercise. Maybe if you're under 20, you don't have to stretch out, but the older you get, you need to stretch more. But we can all achieve great things in the physical, but God wants us to achieve great things on the inside. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, "Now, brothers, I want you to remind you all of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firm to the words I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." He said, "I have received, for what I received I passed on to you of first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Now, if I were to challenge most of you guys in here, and if I said, do you have any verses in the Bible that you can say that Jesus was going to die? You could find some. I mean, you could go to Psalm 22, you could go to Isaiah 53, and there's others in the Old Testament where you could pull them out. But I wonder how many people could pull out verses about him being raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. You need to do a bit more digging for that one. So, but it's there. But what I want to remind you is that if Jesus died on the cross and was buried, and then he was raised from the dead, he conquered death, he conquered sin, he conquered this world, he conquered everything, and that in him we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And he's the one who conquered it all, and we are in him. So when you want to raise your complaint, that's okay as long as it leads you to praise. But understand that sometimes God's strengthening you. He's using what you're going through to make you stronger. Which in a sense is a positive and it can be a negative. Because if God's using what we're going through now to strengthen us for what's ahead of us will be harder than where we're at now. Or is it just me who thinks like that? But sometimes you go through some stuff now to strengthen you for what's ahead of you. But God's already got it in hand. He's already been there. And Phil's looking through the windows, and we know what that means, don't we? It's time to shut up. The food's here. So I hope that's been encouraging for you. It's okay to complain as long as it leads you to praise, and that God's already got it in hand for you. He's already packaging it up, sorting it out for you. He already knows. Amen. Let me pray, and then we can go through there and grab some supper. Is that all right? Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, and I pray right now for everyone here. Lord, for those who are listening, Lord, for those who